He wants that new John Mayer. That's what he wants.
No?
Okay.
No, do you immediately like John Mayer because you look so much like him?
That's what I
oh my I can, God. I can go home now. I feel good. I'm God. Feeling good. It's
He's
not going to get better
so
than this.
So excited.
You should play that Marion Hill again. That's what you should play.
I like that one.
Do, 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 do.
I put it on my playlist, my personal playlist.
Do, 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 do. Yeah, you and Spotify. What, did you buy stock?
Spotify's
no,
awesome.
It's simple and easy.
Spotify's
well, so's Pandora. So's Apple Music. So's
you know what? Apple Music sucked everything. When it first came out.
Yeah.
It sucked.
I got rid of my account.
That's a strong word.
Delete.
And that's when I was in the market for getting something. And I'm like, this sucks. I'm going Spotify. Plus, here's the other thing. Here's the real reason. My kids are on it. So I kind of did the family plan.
Huh.
Hopefully, I don't need a family plan.
I don't get it.
Soon.
I'm still like, I think I need to buy it. That's where I am.
Well, you like to have ownership.
I know. I don't know why. Mm. You don't have to, right? You can just dial it up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Why not?
I got it, man.
That's what our guest needs to do next. Get into music. Start making music.
All right. I have about 15 songs in there.
No kidding?
Yeah.
Is this one of them?
I wrote this, yeah. Oh, this one is so dope. This is the Apple commercial.
Yep. I lost my mind when I heard it. That's how I find all my music. This and shopping.
TV shows.
Pat, what would the name of your first single be?
Retired.
Okay. All right, that's a good one.
You know what rhymes with retired? We tired.
Oh,
retired,
yeah.
Retired.
Retired. Because we tired.
Yeah.
We fired.
We fired, retired. Yeah. That was it's a pretty funny tweet. Somebody got fired.
Kick it in.
I was happy, happy, happy. He was gone.
Hi, welcome to the Chick McGee Show. That's Jason. That's Jeff. And our guest today is the new man of leisure. Although it sounds to me like you're going to be working more than you did before. It's Pat McAfee.
This song is so incredible.
Isn't it great? And there's a couple of them.
They have a lot of good songs. Yeah, their whole catalog is pretty good. Yeah,
just came out of nowhere when Apple gave them.
Yeah,
I wonder how much money Apple paid them. Probably nothing.
Probably nothing.
Say congratulations, you're on our commercial.
Yeah,
you're gonna make a shit ton of
money.
Kind of like Lady Gaga during the Super Bowl. Like they don't pay them. They're just like, yeah, you're gonna get so much pub and like,
get a load of this. Their name it's Marion Hill, but it's not a girl. It's Marion the Librarian and Professor Harold Hill from Music Man. That's where they got the name.
Great name.
Yeah.
Great name. Would have
honest.
Never...
I thought you were saying that was their names.
No, that's where the... I don't
like,
know
that's
what
a
their
lie.
Name, I don't know what their name really is.
That's awesome. That's like Tom Petty after the Super Bowl.
You did?
No, that's like Tom Petty after the Super Bowl.
He got jacked. He has all his downloads.
Yeah. It was on... do you ever watch The Chase on Game Show Network?
No.
Is it like Hunted?
No, it's like a trivia game where this one dude who's an English guy, his name's The Beast on the show. He's like the smartest human walking the earth.
Yeah?
And it's three people take him on in a series of trivial questions. And one question that both The Beast and the contestant got wrong is what is a stipulation the Super Bowl halftime performer, blah, blah, blah. One of the answers was they are not paid, da, 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 da. And I knew that was the answer because it came out when Tom Petty.
Oh, they're not paid.
Not paid. You just get a chance to be in the Super Bowl halftime show.
Yeah.
And the next day, everything you sing is going to be.
I guess that
everywhere.
Happened.
Yeah.
That happened with.
Gaga's killed it, by the
do
way.
Do we call her Ga? Lady? Gaga? What do we say? Gaga? Ha ha?
Gogs.
Gogs?
Gogs. That's what I go.
Isn't in Spanish she's ha ha?
JJ.
I
thought she killed it, by the way.
She did.
I still don't know how she jumped off the roof of the stadium. That scared me.
You know that was actually pre-recorded.
Of course.
Yes.
I didn't know
what?
That.
Yes. That very – when she's standing up high, that was pre-recorded.
He is mind blown right now.
Yeah.
She did come off – she did come down from the ceiling.
I thought she jumped.
He was going to run out into traffic until he saw that at halftime, and that really brought him back to earth
did.
For a second.
The production of it was great.
There's no way
great.
They were going to do those drones live. You knew that and I knew that. There's no way those drones would be – that was an incredible show, but there's no way they were going to let that go. Because what? All one needs to do is fuck up there and it's a whole
– yeah, it's a whole other cut. And then you got to send everybody home and restart the game.
Just one crashes into the other. I mean, this is coming from a man who has crashed a drone or two. I ran one into a fence, a couple into a tree. I mean, this is – that's a tough skill.
Thank
there's
you,
no
drone.
Way they were going to let that beef live. But I thought it was a credible show.
True or false, do you own a drone right now?
Yeah.
Do you have a drone? Do you have drone fights?
I would. I'm at the point, though, where I am probably top five worst drone flyer on. I've crashed four.
Do you have all the video saved from all the drones, or do they all have cameras?
All the crashes?
Yeah.
They all had cameras on them. And they all have
little black boxes.
Yeah. I deleted all of them.
So they crashed for nothing. Did you learn something when they crashed?
Yeah. I just didn't want to remember it. It's bad. I'm bad at it. Video games. I'm bad at them.
I got one for Christmas, and they are the hardest thing to pilot. Like, you can't fly them straight up. They just have to go at an angle.
And if you don't center them at home,
uh-huh.
You know, because you got to twist them to get them. This is home. You got to get them oriented with where you're standing and where's home. If you don't do that, you're going to have some loose cannons out there. My one drone committed suicide into a fence
because
I was trying to get home.
How far away can the drone fly and you still have control of it?
I don't know the exacts. I don't know. If I was to tell you, I know that my fence was probably a couple hundred yards away.
No kid. See, that's amazing.
It went right into it. Yeah. Bob Kavoyan has flown his into my property before when things are going on. It's like we got a sky cam all of a sudden.
So he's got to come over, knock on the door. Hey, my drone's in your backyard.
He's really good at it. Mm-hmm. Bob's a top five droner. Mm. He's
no
really
kidding?
Good. Yeah, he's really good at it.
Is that what they call them, droners? Droner magazine?
Yeah.
Well, let's do that.
Yeah. Droning.
All right, that's fine.
Yeah, I'm a droner. I drone.
All right.
How was your guys' week? It's a good setup. For those of you that don't know.
Yeah.
This is right out of Chick McGee's house. I'm assuming everybody does know that. But this is
– they do.
This is a really cool setup, man.
I put all those little mushy sponges up on the wall myself.
Yeah, I'm going to have to get into this game here soon.
It's nice – yeah, you need to – well, you have a podcast, don't you?
Yeah, I was very –
sort of, kind of?
I didn't want to do it after losses. And then we started having a couple more than I expected. So then it just became like a – and every once in a while thing, but I enjoy the whole podcast thing. I enjoy the sit-down, real conversation.
Mm-hmm.
I think the world's starting to like it, too. I think that's why podcasts are taking off.
We've said this before many times. Jason and I started the podcast like in 2012, and we felt like we were late to the party. And that's not the case at all. You'd be surprised how many people don't know what a podcast is, don't know how to download one, don't know where to get one, don't know what's going on with them.
Yeah, those people are
Yeah, we don't need those people.
Yeah, those people. Those.
They're the worst.
Those people.
I think in Pat's case, if you've got good content, you should the first thing you should do is do a podcast.
Yeah.
Get it out unfiltered. Do it how you want to do it.
Yeah.
People love the unfiltered part.
Yeah.
You know, the stuff you were saying about Triple H. People love that.
Yeah. People say I look like Triple H all the time.
A little bit.
Yeah, because I got the big nose.
You don't have a big nose.
You got to get the hair.
I got a big sniffer. I used to have the long hair.
Yeah.
When I had the long hair, I was... a lot of people would say, you look like Triple H if Triple H didn't work out. Like I get that. I was like, oh, thanks. Yeah, just a professional athlete. Go fuck yourself. But I appreciate that. But I think you take it as a compliment. I think Triple H has done a lot of great things.
You should have a wig on standby just in case you need to go out.
I agree. Like a
You ever go out disguised?
Yeah.
Do you really?
Absolutely.
Honest to gosh?
Yeah. Everybody was like judging Johnny Manziel when he did that in Vegas. I was like, yeah, I've been doing that for years. I don't think this is that big of a deal.
You just like walk around and...
Indy 500. So the Indy 500, I want to be out where
the
fun is.
But right.
Where the fun is in the infield is where my entire demographic is.
Yeah.
And when people
they're going to take a piece of you.
When people get drunk, they're a little bit more ready to go, which I respect and appreciate. It's cool that people know who the hell I am, but it's much easier whenever you put on a long-ass beard, a long wig, sunglasses. I was shotgunning beers at the Indy 500 this year with people, and there's
and
no way
idea?
They had any idea it was me. They had no clue.
That's great.
No clue. It was awesome, though. It was a lot of fun.
Do you do what Chick would do and kind of start a British accent when you start conversing with people that you don't know?
Have I told you that?
No.
Back during the comedy tour days, which may be coming back, evidently.
Yeah, you should think about it.
I thought I was off the hook there for a second. But anyway, especially when I'm traveling by myself, I start talking with a British accent. And
he throws his arm around.
Fucking day, you know.
You've done that three times.
And you'd be surprised how much nicer people are.
Yeah, because you're a foreigner.
If you're a foreigner.
Yeah.
This damned drink machine, good Lord.
Are you Americans? You fucking stupid, fucking bloody Americans.
Think you're better than us.
Huh? You won one war.
One
war.
when I travel, I go Scottish accent, but the only way I can get into it is
you gotta scream though, right?
No, I had to say, at least let me comb me hair. It's so wild and bushy. I had to say that under my breath before I get into it.
See, my thing, I used to be able to not do a southern accent unless I did the run, Forrest. Yeah. Yeah. That's how I had to get into it. Yeah.
You have to have your gateway phrase to get into it.
Yeah. Were you doing Fat Bastard there? Is that?
Yeah. No, it's Willie the Groundskeeper from The Simpsons.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Fat Bastard's a good one.
Well, Fat Bastard. Yeah. My titties.
I've got a crap on deck that could choke a donkey. I enjoy the accents, all the accents. I'm trying to work on a Conor McGregor impression, by the way.
He's kind of is that gonna happen, him and
Floyd?
Yeah, Floyd
if
Mayweather.
It does, I'm putting $100,000 on Conor McGregor.
You think he'll win?
Really? Floyd Mayweather is possibly the greatest defensive boxer in the history of the world.
I understand that and I respect that. And I was a Floyd Mayweather fan.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Are they boxing or doing MMA?
Boxing.
Okay.
Floyd Mayweather will never MMA.
Yeah, right.
But
he'd break his face. McGregor break his face.
That pretty face.
Pretty boy.
Yeah.
Pretty boy.
Oh, we got a pretty boy over here.
Yeah, but I'm betting $100,000 on Conor if that fight ever happens for one reason and one reason only. I believe Conor. When Conor talks, I believe him. So if he's saying – if he's signing up for the fight, Conor's not signing up to the fight thinking he's going
to lose. Yeah.
Because right now he's in his prime. Floyd's older. Mm-hmm. He's out of his prime. I was a big Floyd Mayweather fan. Anytime he fought Pacquiao, I'm Team Floyd all the way. Here we go. He's the greatest.
Man.
But I don't think Conor would lie. And if I bet $100,000 on him, that's a cool $1.1 million. And I'm going to be there. And boy, what a fucking night that's going to be.
I think that's the – and keep in mind who's talking. I think that's the silliest, most expensive thing I ever bought was the last Mayweather-Pacquiao fight. And actually, Todd came over to the house and when I lived in Fisher's. And it was like $99 – well, it was not $89 for standard def.
Made so much money.
$100 for high def. And he's not going to buy the high def, right? So, yeah, there you go.
I'm all in.
Good Lord, was that a mess. That was an awful fight.
Yeah, horrible fight.
Yeah.
That's why I think – the thing about Conor is he's so accurate with his punches. And I think he's been boxing for a long time in his training. That's because his punching is so impressive. I'm not a big MMA guy. But, I mean, I watch, and I'm not – I don't know the ins and outs. Chris Lytle is a friend of mine. I think he's an incredibly tough dude. But if you just watch Conor, he just punches better than everybody else in the UFC. And I don't know if that's going to help him in boxing, but I'd assume boxing is punching. And if Conor's going to take the fight, I think he'll win. That's what I think. So I need to
work. That's your opinion. You're entitled to your opinion.
It's going
to
be an expense. I mean, I make a lot of bad life decisions. Everybody knows that. I mean, it's just the way it goes. But I think that one will be one that will end up working out for me. We'll see. We shall see. Well,
speaking of gambling, did you see Floyd Mayweather, what he put on the Super Bowl?
It was a million?
No. $5,500,000.
Did he bet?
Who?
Patriots.
Good for him.
He was shitting his pants for a while there.
He did?
Wow. He puts all his bets out there. You ever see him? He's like an incredible sports gambler.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not – that's not me saying he's a great person, but he's an incredible sports gambler.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know all of his losses, but I see all of his wins, and boy, they're gigantic. Good for
$5 million in one game. Can you imagine? Did that enter into your head? You were going to be a boxer after you retired?
Never in my life. I got heavy fucking hands though.
Oh really?
Yeah. I got really, really heavy.
You got
hands.
Big meat hooks?
I'm just very explosive. So like you know those punching bag machines at every bar?
Sure.
I've never walked away from a bar without having the record. Never. Really? Any bar.
You did that on stage, didn't you?
Yeah, against Chris Lytle and Matt Mitrione, two UFC guys.
Yeah.
And you hit it harder than those guys.
I hit it harder than anybody. I'm telling you, I don't know what it is. I have no idea why.
I was in the crowd. It happened.
Yeah, I have no idea why.
Straight up happened.
I just have heavy fucking hands.
Have you ever been in a fight that you want to talk about?
Yeah.
I mean like a fist fight in a bar.
Yeah.
You have?
I went to school at West Virginia University in Morgantown. I mean, that's just – those bars might as well – you might as well walk in and there might as well be a ref saying –
kick my ass.
In the right corner of the bar. In the left.
Every night you went out, you'd get in a fight?
Not every night, but it was a very regular occurrence. I mean, that's not even a – we got some dogs.
Well, here's the thing that we do. We, of course, as Pat said, we're here at the compound, and we're at a. Is she run around here?
I don't have eyes on her.
Somehow Jeff's dog, Little Nora Jones, has some way of escaping from my backyard every single time. And we thought we plugged the holes all the time, but apparently. But what she does.
Pretty good at plugging them.
Jeff plugs holes all weekend.
Jeff is plugging holes all weekend. But what she trots around here and sits right under the window and knows where we are in the house, which I find fascinating. Which I find fascinating.
So she doesn't run away.
She doesn't run away. She just comes over here and barks and says, hey, I'm out. Hey,
put me back in.
I know you're recording. Help me out. That's Can I come awesome. Back?
I love dogs.
You have a dog. You just recently became a cat lover. Am I right?
Oh, my God. The best animal on earth. The best animal on earth.
What's that cat weigh, by the way? Like 80
Too
pounds?
Much.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. We had a little vet appointment with it last week. And listening to the vet describe how we should think about dieting is probably my favorite conversation.
Did you cover her ears, though, or his ears? Or?
No. We just said, the cat likes to eat. I don't know what to tell you. Like, this is a cat problem. Let it live. Let the cat live.
Let it eat.
Let it eat. Two cats, one dog in my house right now.
Well, the cat, it'll live. They'll live longer if they're lighter.
Yeah, but it'll lose a lot of his allure if he gets skinny.
Oh, that's true. He might get crabby, too.
Have the real-life Garfield in my house right now. Teddy is the real-life Garfield.
Teddy?
Teddy. Theodore. Theodore.
I never thought you'd like a cat.
Me neither. Never been around a cat in my entire life. And then my lady, Sam, brought in – she first brought her dog with her, mm-hmm. right? And she had a couple cats, but she left them at like her apartment / parents or mom's house because she didn't want to – mom and dad's house because she didn't want to be too overboard. Then she brought Teddy in because Teddy's the cooler cat, and she like kind of fueled me out there, and I was like, oh, I love this cat. And then boom, another cat comes. So then all of a sudden I got two cats and a dog, and I'm a big fan of them. I like all of them. The dog's part pit bull. And I've had a bad run-in with a couple pit bulls in my life.
But this one's a lovey.
The best. I'm a full-time animal lover now. It's pretty fantastic.
You said you've made some bad life decisions. Would you ever buy a big cat, like a jungle cat, and keep it at your house?
Yeah.
What kind?
Like a tiger, right?
Yeah.
You gotta go tiger.
Tiger, did you watch Comedy Central at all? Tigers are – there's only like 3,200 of them left or something.
Oh, no kidding. I didn't
In the
know
wild.
That. That's horrible. Okay.
Yeah, they're like the most I was watching those roast battles on Comedy Central, and you have a good time, and then they go to commercial, and it's somebody shooting a tiger. I'm like, holy shit. Like, this is quite a roller coaster here, Comedy Central. I appreciate this. But I wouldn't mind having a jungle cat. I don't want to own it, though. So I take back everything I just said.
Just rent it? Like, bring it over for parties?
Yep.
I like that.
Petting zoo.
I like that.
Yeah, that's what I would like. How about you?
Oh, yeah. I'd get like a Black Panther, something sexy.
Mystique. Oh, racist.
Yeah, no.
You're all about sexy, aren't you?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's sexy.
John Mayer had a big week.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So does Theodore eat like regular food? Or is it all just cat food?
Jason's our cat guy. We're both dog guys.
He's very picky when it comes to human food.
Okay.
It's got to be something he likes.
Okay.
He's got five toes, or he's got like 10 toes too up front. He's got thumbs on his two front
Really?
Ones.
Well, no kidding.
Yeah.
So he can open up a can probably, right?
They can open doors. Yeah. They open up doors to the pantry, for instance. They go all
oh
in
my
there.
God. Really?
And if they like the food, like Teddy will pick up the food and bring it in front of him, smell it. And then batted him off. Yeah, he's the most gangster. I'm telling you, these fucking cats are the most gangster things on earth. I love them. I love them.
But, you're a go kind of guy, but then you come home and you just chill, and cats are great for that.
Great.
They'll probably just curl up, hang out.
All of the animals love my lady a lot more than me, obviously, because she's been with them since birth since the beginning and stuff like that. But I'm starting to get the dog. The dog is starting to become a pet. Dog.
Yeah.
Her name's Val, and there's starting to be a little jealousy the lady with how much Val is starting to really love me.
Well. You
know? Like we're laying in bed at night. Val will come over to my side, jump up into the bed, and lay next to me. Sam, just goes, your door just opened.
Is she coming in?
A ghost. No. She's out. She's out there.
Oh, okay.
She's not for long. No. She's out there. She's Andy Dufresne.
tunneling through.
So the animals are starting to love me, which is really good news. Really, really good news. But my life's coming to full circle, man.
Separate beds, right? You said they're getting the bed. Separate beds.
You're not going to sleep. I mean,
not before marriage.
Not right, before marriage, sure.
Yeah, of course.
I was worried. Yeah. Okay,
hand
cool.
jobs only.
Yeah.
Of course. Oh,
how much time do you have to talk about hand jobs?
I give me the best hand job. Yeah,
we can talk about hand jobs a whole episode. But first, let's do this. Pat, what was the I need to get straight up here for a second. Yeah. What was the thought process? Was this always the plan that you would retire now, or did it just I don't want to guess, but
a couple years ago I started having the thought. Right,
because I knew like a year ago,
or I was thinking about it.
You were thinking about it, and you had your knee problem.
Yeah,
and you were like limped in one morning to be on the show. Like, you can't say anything about this.
Yeah, we can't talk about
this. We can't talk about this. Don't say it. I mean, even off the air, you can't say anything about it. I go, okay.
Yeah.
You look like you're in pain, though, man.
Well, I have been here but that's just the way the NFL is. Like, I think that whole concussion lawsuit. Like, I think ex players coming out for a money grab against the NFL is bullshit. Like, I think everybody who's ever watched football, played football, understands that there is a high chance that you're going to get hurt. I was not in a hand-to-hand combat position, tough position, where my brain was messed up or my shoulders or anything like that. Mm-hmm. It's mostly my knees. But I do think the NFL PA needs to start taking care of ex-players more with money, right? Because then if they're taking care of – like, we invest in so much dumb shit, the NFLPA. And I've said this for a long time, that the NFLPA is the dumbest business union in the history of sports. I mean, they just invest in all the wrong shit. They got too much money and don't know where to go. So instead of investing in ex-players, they invest in stupid shit, which is neither here nor there. I think they should be investing in ex-players. Then you wouldn't see all these concussion lawsuits and stuff like that.
Right.
But for me – the only reason why I started kicking footballs in high school and decided to go to college for kicking was a business decision. This is 100% a business decision. Mm-hmm. First time I kicked a football, I kicked a 60-yard field goal. It was just like literally the first time I kicked it. It was like, oh, shit. Like there's a chance for this to become. So it was – and I love soccer. My whole life I played soccer. Soccer was supposed to be it. And then the first time I kick a football, I'm kicking better than some of the guys in the NFL. Mm-hmm. That's a conversation you have with your dad. You're like, well, this is probably a business decision. We could do this.
Right.
So for me, football has always been a business decision. Get money, take care of my family, get everybody I know out of debt, get everybody set up with a good life, keep it moving. I got a chance to do that. So I had a chance to do that with the NFL. And then as my knees just kept deteriorating each year, because my leg speed is what makes me really good.
Mm-hmm.
My leg speed is faster. And I'll say this, and if anybody wants to prove me wrong, I mean, I'd love to be proved wrong, but I think I have the quickest leg speed in the history of mankind. I can kick a soccer ball 130 miles an hour if I want to. I can kick a football further than anybody has ever kicked a football.
And it's all about the speed.
And it's all leg speed. I'm not flexible. I'm nothing like that. But it's my leg speed has always been. When I played soccer growing up, I broke a guy's arm with the soccer ball. I mean, it's just I've always had a cannon.
Mm-hmm.
And with that comes a lot of wear and tear on your knee because the knee can't keep up with the whipping. Right. And this past year – I'd already had two surgeries. This past year, I think it was our 10th game. I said week 10, which was our bye week, and some people went after me for that. But it was our 10th game. I kicked in my patella, which is your kneecap. It's a scientific word for your kneecap. Hopped out of place during the hyperextension of my kick. So my kneecap got
– is that the first time it came out of place?
It happened a couple times before, but it's always shifted back.
Okay.
So this time it didn't shift back. It sat outside the edge. So for the rest of the year, every single time I kicked, my kneecap would bounce back and forth and just kind of fuck up everything in my
knee. You shitting me?
Yeah. So you're talking like even in practice, I'd kick two times a week.
So that's probably not very painful though.
Yeah, not at all. So two times a week I kick during practice. Wednesday, Thursday was my days during practice,
right.
During the week to kick. Friday, Saturday off, Sunday game. And on Wednesdays and Thursdays when I would kick at night, I couldn't even walk. I mean, it just hurt so bad
because
my kneecap would be bouncing around inside of my knee, just tearing everything up. And then on Sundays, obviously after games, during games, I'd have Toradol in me, which Toradol just is basically the super,
right.
super anti-inflammatory, super no pain, just kind of get through it. And I was cool with taking, I mean, it was my job to kick balls.
That's your choice.
Let's do it, right? It was my choice to do it. And on Sunday nights after games, it was like, I couldn't even fucking walk. So it just got to the point where my reason and motive to get into the NFL was to take care of my family. I got a chance to do that, gave my mom and dad a business. My brother now works for that business, setting them up for the American dream, kind of taking care of some of my friends, get them jobs, keep it moving, and get myself on a good head start of life. And then once it got to the point where 3 knee surgeries in 4 years, with this last one hurting like a motherfucker every time I kicked. It was just the right time, right opportunity. And when Barstool stepped up, it was just like, here we go. This is a perfect marriage.
So now your knee right now and day-to-day walking around.
Walking's okay, but like yesterday I went and shot hoops a little bit.
Yeah.
And it was just like a couple of jumps. I'm not a big high jumper when I shoot. I kind of fade back, kind of Dirk Nowitzki style shooting.
Sure. Yeah. And, a natural shot.
Yeah.
Sure.
It goes in. Just know that it's going in.
It's going in. Just know it. Yeah.
So my knee doesn't hurt walking because there's no real flexion to it. But yesterday after shooting, last night, for instance, my knee just hurt like hell. So I got a surgery where they have to kind of move my kneecap back, build up a ridge, and then fix all the cartilage inside of there. It's a pretty hefty thing, but that's happening on February 22nd. And I'll be excited to be able to get back into – pick up basketball, pick up soccer, kind of all that shit.
So once you have the surgery, I mean, it's going to be okay from then on?
Well, I mean, there's a chance that I'll need another one.
Okay.
On both of them at some point. But I don't want to be down for 2 months. I'd rather be down for 10 days, which is – I can't move for 10 days after this surgery. So 10 days I'm laid up. Then there's like a two-month rehab process, blah, blah, blah. If I was to get the big surgery to fix everything, I'd have to be down for a couple months and then a couple more months after that a rehab. And I just don't want to do that right now. So I'll probably do that whenever I get older.
Sure.
And we'll see how it goes. But that's the NFL. There's 100% injury rate in the NFL. And for me, it's not my brain or my shoulders. It's just my knees have been
well. And you said about the CTE earlier and the older players. I don't want to speak for all the older players, but I've seen interview after interview where they will say that if you asked me to make a choice, I can be in the NFL and have a career, and I run the risk of having a brain injury, I'm going to be in the NFL and have a career. I'm not going to worry about, you know, having a brain injury. So,
yeah,
you know, and they don't really, I don't want to say they don't care because that sounds kind of harsh, but I mean, they know the risk and they're willing to deal with it.
For me, this was a business decision and being in the NFL was a complete business for me. It was a job for me. I loved my teammates. I loved the organization, but it was a job for me. And I know with every single job, there's downfalls. For me, I couldn't speak or tweet about a lot of things that I wanted to. I couldn't say a lot of things. And also, my knees would hurt. I mean, I would take that over any day of the week. My dad was a truck driver, wood salesman. I am not complaining at all. But whenever you get an opportunity to go do something that you really do enjoy doing, which is chit-chatting, making people laugh, kind of giving a perspective that people won't hear, I had to take it. Had to take it.
Yeah.
And I think there's a lot of players I've had so many of my teammates, ex-teammates from both college and the NFL reach out, like over 100 of them reach out to me, just so happy for me and all this stuff.
That's great.
Yeah, it's been really cool. Everybody's really happy that I've been able to transition into something awesome. But I have to do well here. This could fail completely. This could completely fail completely, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah. Did you know in the back of your mind when you started playing for the Colts and you started playing for the NFL, did you know that you wanted to try stand-up or
no.
You knew you were going to be good at it? Or
no. It wasn't until the Bob and Tom Show.
Yeah?
Yeah, when I got on the Bob and Tom Show, it really changed everything.
Okay.
I knew I wanted to get into I wanted to have my own show at some point. I knew I wanted like a late-night show. That was kind of my dream. In college, I did a whole paper on it and all that stuff. But I didn't know stand-up was going to be even relevant to that. And then once I started hanging out at Bob and Tom, I got a chance to meet some comedians who are doing stand-up comedy. And they had all their punchlines written out in front of them. And I was having conversations with them off the air, and they weren't that funny. And I was like, wait a minute. If this guy is making money doing comedy, maybe I can get into it. And then Bob Kavoyan kind of, I don't want to say he pushed me, but he was kind of like, you should do it. If you want to do it, do it. And I've loved it, man. Stand-up comedy is so much fun. It's just freedom. It's just complete freedom with them.
It's one of the last places you can say what you want because it's, you know, and there's no one there to, you know,
and nobody's looking at their phones. You have everybody's attention
for
90 minutes. And it's just, it's like a real intimate moment. And I enjoy the hell out of talking to people and talking with them. And I think my story is one that's littered with poor decisions, but I think it's pretty hilarious. I think people have really enjoyed it.
And to Pat's point, to further kiss his ass here.
Come on, keep it coming.
I know, baby. Yeah.
I did see Pat. He's got a special coming out. And actually, I was at one of the tapings for that special that was late last summer. And yes, I consider Pat a friend, but I've seen many a comedy shows. And when I saw Pat's, he's probably halfway through and he had what to me was a closer. And I'm going, God, Pat, you used your closer already.
Oh, okay.
And then I'll be damned if he didn't have two more closers the rest of the way.
This next special that I
was blown away. It was great.
This next special I have coming out, I'm very, very, very proud of. I feel like I have a lot of room to improve when it comes to comedy and mm-hmm. kind of studying and all, which I'm excited to kind of dig into more. Because football, people see me doing comedy shows in the off season and tweeting and stuff like that. But football and kicking footballs was literally every decision I made, there was football in the back of my mind. It was, and when you tweet, you can lay in your bed and tweet. And when stand-up specials, I wrote that stuff in my house. So I wasn't really paying attention to focusing on it a lot. I was focusing on ball kicking basically all the time. And I'm excited to kind of dive into that. But this set that we're about to release, I'm very, very proud of.
It was good.
I think people are going to really enjoy it. I'm a storyteller, though. It's just what I am. So you got to be in the mindset to listen to it. But the way we kind of mixed – I have some pictures from my past growing up, kind of tell my story with a voiceover intermixed with some stand-up. It should be a good marriage for a very entertaining night at home watching on your TV, I think. Should be fun. You're going to learn a lot about me. You're going to learn a lot about my mom and dad and brother. And you're going to – I think it'll be much more understandable, the decision I made after you watch it. It's Pat McAfee Open Book.
Oh, that's the name of it?
Yeah.
Do you know when it's going to – it's kind of up in the air when it's going to be released, or you're still –
Well, we're about done with it. We've edited it in my basement. So this has been like a full – this has kind of been my – it's my dream come true almost, like working on this, making it good, kind of – piecing together things. Oh, I like this shot better than this shot at this point. It's just, it's been a lot of fun. I've had a lot of good people around me, but as soon as we can figure out how the hell to get it on iTunes, you guys will hear about it. It's hard as shit to get up there. You got to go through a third party. You got to pay them. They put it up there in 3 to 4 weeks. They do whatever the hell they want to do, blah, blah, blah. I'm at the bottom of the totem pole in comedy. I completely understand. But when it gets up there, I think people will enjoy it. I think.
Yeah, cool. All right. Well, we're going to take a break, and we'll be back with part two of Pat McAfee on the Chick McGee Show on Podcast One.
I've never heard the song, but it's very popular. I've got this
thing. It's Marion Hill.
Oh.
Sounds like that first part sounded like somebody squeezing a mouse there for a second. Hi, welcome back to part two of the Chick McGee Show on Podcast One. Our guest today is former NFL great.
Thank you. Some respect.
Pat McAfee, soon to be on a platform near you on barstoolsports.com.
Someone just randomly sent me – they work at a school, and there's a milk poster of Pat McAfee.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They just randomly sent it to me, so I just randomly sent them a picture of the real Pat McAfee sitting in this chair.
Sitting like 2 feet from
him. Now, real quick, that person has to be in high school because that's fuel up to play 60, so I'm kind of creeped out that high schoolers are Snapchatting.
No.
John Mayer.
She's a teacher.
Okay, that's our story, and we're sticking to it. Hey, the Chick McGee Show brought to you by TrueCar.com. You know this. With TrueCar, you see what other people in your local market paid for the car you want. And from there, you connect with the local TrueCar certified dealer and enjoy a more confident car buying experience. It's just that simple. There's nothing worse than going to buy a car blind. You don't want to do that. You're a sucker then. You need TrueCar.com because TrueCar shows you what other people in your area paid for the car you want. And once you register with TrueCar, you see real pricing on real cars, not something made up, not some fairy tale. Not some nursery rhyme. With TrueCar, you connect with a local certified dealer of your choosing. You enjoy a quick, easy buying experience. And here's what you need to remember. TrueCar customers are more likely to enjoy a faster buying process when they connect with TrueCar certified dealers. And TrueCar users save an average of over $3,000 off the MSRP. So, my friend, when you're ready to buy a new car, there is only one answer, TrueCar.com. Visit TrueCar to enjoy a more confident car buying experience. Some features are not available in all states. That's TrueCar.com. Back with Mr. Pat McAfee.
Guys.
There he is. And guys, it is true. I remember how you got on the Bob and Tom Show, but I feel like you're one of those guys that once you're friends with that guy, you don't remember what it was like before they were your friend, you know?
I mean,
you're just that – you just have been that force, that steadying force, and And I think everyone's – I don't know – I don't even remember if people remember who was the punter before you came for the Colts.
Well, there for a while, nobody had a clue I was even on the team, you know, which
okay,
is good.
Okay, there's that part.
Which
yeah.
is kind of what I wanted.
That's good.
I wanted – I really enjoyed the anonymity my first year here in the mm-hmm. NFL. And then I got arrested and fucked it all up. Everybody knew who I was immediately. I was friends with Vibbs for a while.
Oh, yeah?
And then his co-hosts piled on whenever I was getting attacked, so I had to – completely end ties with anybody that's going to help her out.
Yep, yep. Yeah,
and I'm happy to be back in Vibbs' good graces.
There he is. See,
I love Vibbs.
Welcome back. Welcome back.
Thanks, man. Thanks for having me.
Welcome. Welcome to JeffVibber.com.
I mean, I let you close out that show for me that one time, and you know.
I love the way
stick around. Stick around for Pat.
Yeah, I love the way you were there. You did kill it.
No,
I thought you did really well
no,
there.
I don't think I ever got a thank you. So thank you for letting me do that. That was
no
awesome,
problem, man. I was lucky to have you because. What was that, like 2 weeks beforehand, I didn't even have a clue what we were going to do.
Yeah.
And Spangle was like, are you having an opener or something? And I was like, and Vibbs was standing right next to him. I was like, hey, you want to open for me, man? Yeah. All right. That's perfect.
You know, from the outside looking in, it seems like you somehow, well, with the exception of the Broad River incident, you somehow always seem to make the right choice and you seem to go gliding. You told me one time that you are the party that if – you want to show people that you're the party, and if you want to come over and join in the party, that's great. But if you don't,
it's all good.
I don't want anything to do with you.
That's like back when I was single. I don't understand the whole mindset of I'm gonna go out and find a girl. You know, like guys that do that, I'm gonna go out and tonight I'm gonna have sex with a girl. I've always had the mindset that if I have the best time wherever I'm at,
yeah.
people will join or people won't join. It's just, I just try to have a great time wherever I'm at and hopefully the right decisions get made. Now, granted, I've fucked up a lot.
We all have.
But
sure.
I just honestly just try to have a good time, try to have a good moral compass, mm-hmm. do things the right way and just keep it moving. And it seemed to work out so far. I mean, granted, this might turn into a gigantic failure, but I always feel morally like I'm doing the right thing. And I think that's the biggest thing for me.
And I'm going to ask you a question. I don't know if you want to answer this or not, but you can or not.
Yeah.
You said this morning on the other show, you said the networks and NFL Network or the networks covering NFL football don't want to hire you.
They would never hire me.
And I don't know because I guess – the only thing that we are, as a fan have to go on at this point is that, like, well, I mean, Troy Aikman and I mean, all your color commentators are former players. And you, bubbling with personality, would seem like, although I guess knowing you the way I know you, well, anybody who knows you, you're just maybe you're too funny and too
real
to be be on an NFL football broadcast.
I think I'm too real. And I think that's kind of the, like, I hate.
So, well, you would go, oh, that guy totally missed that block there. He must not have practiced enough during the week.
I would never sell out
no,
a player.
Right? Okay.
The big thing is I never sell out players because I understand how hard it is to make it to the NFL.
Right.
All these guys get on TV and they forget how hard it is to make it to the NFL, right? So, like, Chris Collinsworth, who I've actually learned to respect and enjoy because mm-hmm. I enjoy his color commentator. I think he's really good.
Mm-hmm.
But there for a little bit, he was just taking shots at everybody every single time. And if you have one wrong thing happening, that means there's 10 other good things happening.
You know, Chris Collinsworth is a big Mr. Obvious fan.
Is he?
I love Chris. Mr.
I'm
Obvious.
A big Chris Collinsworth fan.
And I think he said this in an interview. I know he said this in an interview. He watches more film now than he ever did as a player.
And I think it's obvious, too, because he does a great job. But a lot of these people get on TV, and they always want to sell people out and do this and do that. And that's just not my gig, man. I like building people up more so than anything, unless they're bad people. If somebody's a bad person, I am not scared to go after them because I feel like if you're a bad person, you deserve it. But I'm just all about good people, doing the right thing, doing good things, and I'm just kind of sick of all the bullshit.
I'm a big believer in karma and things happen for a reason. And even when bad things happen, hey, it's happening for you're going to learn something. You know,
I used the word karma in a tweet.
Recently. Oh, yeah,
you did.
Yeah, right into that wall.
Yeah, bad person.
My point is
that person.
Isn't it interesting? Don't you find it interesting that things like I know in my life, I found it interesting that that podcasts exist now because they help me so much personally and you know professionally. And a company like Barstool Sports didn't exist. Until sort of kind of you need to go work for them. You know what I'm trying to say? It's just like they're for – you're perfect for what you're going to go
I
do.
I think we're a very good relationship, Barstool Sports.
Yeah,
and I.
Right?
And I'm assuming Vibbs, who's a Patriots fan, has known about Barstool
Sports.
Oh,
yeah. The first time I heard the term Barstool Sports.com, it came out of Vibbert's mouth.
It's just a cool take on sports coverage. I mean, it's just – it's. There's no, they're not worried about getting a contract from the NFL or a contract from the NBA. Like ESPN has an NFL contract. So those guys are contractually obligated not to say certain things. I mean, that's just a real situation.
Yeah.
Or Fox Sports is trying to get an NFL contract. So all these people don't want to piss off the NFL. With Barstool, they're just like, we don't give a fuck. Do whatever you want to do. If you want to be, if you want to say something funny, do funny stuff. If you want to do something real, do something real. Just, we're just, they just want to be a platform about just good stuff. And that's all they care about. And I think that's fantastic. And I'm very happy that I've learned about them over the past couple of years, kind of watched them from afar. And then now getting a chance to kind of meet the people who kind of pull the strings on things. It's awesome. And I'm not going to be, like the other night, somebody from Barstool, I don't even know if it's an official Barstool account, tweeted a joke about President Bush's coin toss, right?
Mm-hmm.
President Bush is an incredible American. I think we all
– He's 94, 95?
92, I think.
92, somewhere around in there?
Yeah, I only know that because of how many people tweeted me outrage after this. But they tweeted a joke about it being the worst coin toss in history, right? Because it just fell out of his hand, rolled down, whatever. And all these people from Indianapolis who followed me and – kind of started joining up with Barstool after I made the announcement that I joined them, started attacking me for this tweet. And I'm like, listen, I used to work in the NFL where guys hit women and did all these. Every business is going to have something that you don't agree with. And I think a joke about a bad coin toss, which is what it was, about an incredible American, isn't that big of a deal. But also, we're all our own individual entities. Like, just because somebody from Boston tweets a joke doesn't mean I agree with it just because I work with Barstool. Barstool is just a hustler's paradise that allows people to be themselves, gives them a platform to do so, and is very, very, very motivating to kind of go take over the world. And that's basically what Barstool is in a nutshell.
Is that why? Is that how you found it, Vibs, from like for Patriots information?
Yeah, I used to read the knee-jerk reactions after every Patriots game by Jerry Thornton, who's great. He's really good.
Incredible writer. I just heard an awesome story about him getting kicked out of a club.
Really?
Yeah, Jerry Thornton's like this, I don't want to say old man, but he's an older gentleman.
Yeah.
And they said at one of their first parties, he was the first person to get kicked out. And I was like, this guy's the man.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's just a cool group of people who are talented, man. Yeah. Very talented group of people.
So basically, your Barstool Indie is your thing.
Yep.
You've got a few years to kind of get this up and going. Yep. I assume you got to be excited about that.
Yep.
What do you have a vision for it?
Yeah, absolutely. So I will be running Barstool Indie. Oh, they're phone down.
Man down.
Phone down. Yeah, okay. You got a Tom Griswold case on there?
I do, yeah.
Man, good for you. Raw.
I usually go raw, but I put a case on it last night.
You know
night
what Dib said about what was it?
Wearing a condom.
Yeah.
Cell phones, yeah.
I heard that on the best tweets on the internet thing you were doing.
Yeah.
That's an incredible segment. I hope they don't get rid of it.
Yeah, well, too late. I'm done talking.
I really enjoyed it.
Thanks, Pat.
And I don't know if anybody respects my opinion or not, but I think that was a very, very, very good segment.
You and me
I,
both.
I enjoyed watching it on Facebook. But Barstool Indy will basically be me and Todd McComas' operation, and we're going to build a team of interns through interviews, and we'll have a radio show out of there, a TV show that will be broadcasted on Barstool social media websites, which is their Instagram Live and Facebook Live accounts, but we're going to run it like a real TV show. I think that'll be a game changer for the media in general, by the way, because you won't have to have DirecTV, Comcast. All you have to have is an Instagram app, and you'll get a full produced TV show. But then we got a lot of other ideas, too, to create content and basically just make stuff to put out onto the internet that hopefully makes the world laugh a little bit. And that's what the Barstool Indie brand is all about. So if Barstool Sports does something that pisses you off or somebody in Barstool Sports, I respect that and appreciate it because I was probably not the biggest fan of it either. But just because somebody else does something doesn't mean I'm with it. We're all under the same umbrella. We're all a family, and we're just hoping to build Barstool because it's an incredible opportunity for all of us.
So what would you be doing today had you not retired from the NFL? Do you ever think about that?
No. I've flipped the switch completely.
It's flipped the switch.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Off.
Yeah. I'm ready to go. I'm just like, we'll probably, the way our daily schedule will be, we'll probably have a Sirius XM show from 11 to 12. If we want 10 to 12, we can. Mm-hmm. And then live at 5, Barstool Sports Live at 5 with Pat McAfee will be 5 o'clock on their Instagram Live, Facebook Live accounts. And then in between, we'll be able to create content or hustle for the show and all that stuff. That'll be my daily repertoire down there. And we're going to have a basketball court and a golf simulator in our office. So
batting cages? We have batting cages?
Well, if we get we got a couple MLB guys who have already reached out to want to come, so we'll probably put in some stuff for them too.
Gotta have a batting cage.
Yeah, it takes up a lot of room.
Oh, that, yeah.
A lot of room. Believe me, I've looked into all of it.
yeah,
I've looked into all of it. So we'll be a fully operating fun house, just creating a bunch of good shit out of Barstool Indy.
That's awesome. I was going to ask, I lost it. Never mind.
It was so
totally
good.
Lost it.
I bet it was so good though. You need to try
totally
Adderall.
Lost it.
Adderall. No,
I hear it's pretty,
I've only tried it
potent.
Once. I'm going to get actually tested for it though, to see if I should have it or not. I'm thinking I should, but I don't want to be buying.
What are we
pills.
Talking about? Adderall now?
Yeah. I don't want to be
it's
buying.
It's not a
pills.
Blood test. Is
I've
it?
Never,
it's a handwritten test. And then there's also a swab thing they can do to see the levels of what I need.
Okay. I've
shit.
Never, I don't know. I get the feeling that if you
need
creative,
it.
I guess, is that a sign you're – I mean, maybe if I had Adderall, I could gather my thoughts.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what. I'm probably a person who needs Adderall. I mean, ever since I was a kid, they've been trying to put me on Ritalin and all this shit. And I really love my brain. I enjoy my brain. I enjoy what it does. I enjoy what it creates. I enjoy what it thinks. I enjoy what I don't say to other people that it just says to me. I enjoy my brain a lot. So I was always scared if I got on any of these pills, it would hamper it. And then I tried it the first day after I retired because I said, I can't wait to try this shit. It just felt like for me, it was finishing thoughts as opposed to just getting thoughts, if that makes sense.
Right, sure.
But I'm also somebody who probably needs to be taking it. So it's kind of a different animal. If that makes sense. Not everybody needs Adderall. I'm probably somebody who needs it, if that makes sense.
Someone DM'd me today while you were on the show and was like, tell Pat McAfee it's pure methamphetamine. Don't be taking Adderall.
Yeah.
I was like,
doctors,
fire.
Yeah, doctors are prescribing.
Yeah.
And I got somebody from ESPN, some chick from ESPN, after I sent out a tweet about Adderall the first day, and I completely understand why it's a PED, because my brain was just operating at a level that it's never been at before. And I had energy. My whole body felt like it was in harmony for like the first time in my life.
Right.
And I was like, God damn, I can't believe other people are allowed to take this ever, because you can get an exemption to take it. And this lady said,
what is that again? The TUE? What were you calling it?
Therapeutic use exemption.
Yeah.
So you got to go through like 7 psychiatrists to get it. They make it very difficult to get it, but you can.
It's possible.
And for me, I was always scared it was going to fuck up my brain, so I didn't want to do it. There's been doctors who have come to the Colts who have said, you could probably get this if you wanted to go through all the steps, and I didn't want to fuck it up. But
it doesn't physically – I guess when I think of a PED, I think something that's going to make you physically stronger, I guess. But
no,
this is
mentally.
All mental.
And body too. My body felt like it was in full harmony. I don't know if that makes sense or not.
Perfect sense.
Yeah. No, it sounds – if it makes you that much – if you feel like you're that much better, it sounds like you – there's no way you shouldn't have it.
Well, that's what I think too. But I sent out that tweet.
If you're going to be alive, be alive at your –
the best you possible.
The best you can be. Right.
But this is I am not condoning people or promoting people to take this if they're not supposed to take it. I am somebody who has been told I'm supposed to take it. And before going and get a full prescription, I wanted to try it, especially because I was retired. I could. I'm a human. There was a guy standing right in front of me that said, I have one if you want to try it. Yeah, I do. Thanks. I appreciate that. So I tried it. But this lady from ESPN, you know, these political correct fucking douchebags, sends a tweet that goes, do you know you taking that makes it so much harder for a child or an adult who actually needs it? And I wanted to be like, hey, bitch, are you a doctor? I'm an adult that probably needs it. Why don't you go ahead and shut the fuck up? And I didn't say that. But I wanted to.
That's just another part of your brain that you love.
Yeah, I love that part.
I'm not going to say this.
But
what you said was, thank you, ma'am, for your
thoughts. No, I just put
thought.
Hashtag limitless.
Oh, yeah, right, yeah, right. Yeah, well, that's what that whole movie's, yeah.
Yeah, because that's what I felt like.
Kind of, sort of like, yeah.
Yeah, you've got to, if you take it, though, you have to find the happy
proper
medium.
Amount. Yeah.
I had someone give me some, and it was 2 blue pills, the big ones, and I took one. And an hour later, I was like, I'm not feeling anything. I better take the other one.
Oh, it's like an edible, mister. You can't deal with edibles.
Yeah. So I'm typing a paper in the computer lab, and I'm on this. I'm like, this is so good. I'm doing great. And I look at the clock, and it's like 4 hours later. I'm like, I'm high as a kite.
Yeah, you were in the zone.
I didn't sleep for like 3 days. It was bad.
Wow. Yeah. I felt It was crazy because my brain would finish thoughts where they would normally just start them, if that makes sense. I don't
know. No, that makes total sense. Yeah. I do that every day of my life.
Yeah. So I'm going to meet with a doctor and get the actual test because I don't want to be buying drugs from somebody, a drug dealer. I want to go through.
Unless you can trust them. I mean.
Everybody knows a trustworthy drug
dealer. Yeah. They got to make money too.
Yeah, absolutely. Hustler's paradise. Remember, Barstool's paradise. But I'm going to actually get – if I need it, I'm going to get prescribed for it and use it. And if I don't need it, I won't take it.
You're not going to take it?
Yeah, I won't take it. But I think I do. And boy, that one day my body has never felt more in sync than that day. And I was like, holy shit. I can't believe people are allowed to use this in the NFL, even with the exemption.
People feel this good all the time?
So I was like, holy shit. People have this much energy and their brains are just up. I was using words that I fucking never in a million years would have used. I was like, holy shit.
Which is amazing because that stuff's in there.
It's in that brain.
It's in there.
Oh, everything's in there.
And it brought it out.
That's like, this is obviously to an extreme, but Steve Jobs credits taking acid for really the dreams of Apple and the vision of Apple and all that stuff.
I had a boss, this is a true story, who used to tell us, I don't know why drugs are illegal because look at all the stuff that was created when people
every
were
musician.
High on drugs.
Yeah. Every musician.
I mean, look at the evidence.
Mm-hmm. But there's also a lot of jackasses who like sober jackasses, high jackasses fuck up everything for everybody. So I think there's a happy medium. That's why I'm excited. If I need it, I'll take it. If not, I'll keep
That's
it.
That's a Bill Hicks routine, actually.
Oh, is it really? Yep. Maybe that's where my boss got it. I don't know. I mean, he's a good guy, and he could come up with it by himself.
No, but that I think that's a Bill Hicks
That's like my routine. Dad. My dad's super anti-drugs, right? Super, super duper anti-drugs, and always has been. But he loves Pink Floyd, Tom Petty, all these motherfuckers who are just on drugs.
Sure.
And it's quite an interesting hypocrisy in his brain, I think. I think he just kind of erases the fact that they do drugs, just listens to the music and keeps it moving.
Yeah, Dark Side of the Moon, just the title, you'd have to be high to come up with it.
But I don't think everybody should be on drugs. I think if you need it, you should take it, and that's about it. That's how I feel about Adderall.
Fair question, I think.
Yeah.
When you were deciding about retiring,
yeah.
Who did you talk to first, Ursay or your parents?
Parents.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
My parents were the first conversation.
Okay, cool.
And just like when I decided to go do football, it was me – kind of letting them know what I'm going to do as opposed to a group decision.
Right.
That makes sense.
But you're just letting them in on the decision.
Yeah. Like, hey, this is – I'm going to go do football because I think there's a lot more beneficial shit in the future with it. But soccer, I had a lot more college interest in soccer than I did in football. I only had a couple.
Didn't you travel in Europe with soccer?
Yeah,
soccer
I represented America.
Yeah,
and
right.
The team over there. And so
for years.
I had a lot more colleges – a lot more, not even close, more interested in me in soccer than I did in football. So whenever I told my parents that I was going to pursue football, it was initially a shock, but then my dad got on board and then later my mom got on board. So that's kind of how this has gone, but they're all in on Barstool. They're real excited. My dad has done all of his research on them. He's and my dad's just jacked up about it. And because I thought the big thing with my dad is my dad spent my entire childhood, he and I in a car just traveling around America and other countries playing soccer.
Oh.
So then at college, they went to every single game. And then the NFL first couple of years, they're at every single game and they come to every home game. And now they live out here. They've been my biggest supporters by far. So when I was kind of letting them know about it, I was scared that they were going to be pissed off because it's a big family thing, me playing sports. And my dad
– it's a big chunk of time.
Yeah, we've invested a lot into it. And my dad goes, it's not about the sports, man. It was just us together. And I was
that's cool.
Wow. So he's been a part of every single step here with Barstool Indy. He just sent me a drawing for what I should do for the studio and shit. He was down there with me with the architect and stuff. So he's all in. They're real excited about it.
I'm getting a real big vibe off you about family, but
me and my brother. I don't know.
No.
Maybe I know nothing about my brother.
Starting your own family.
No, I don't want kids.
Not yet or never.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
And the lady I'm with is very on the same page as me.
Snip it.
That's cool.
It's snipped.
Well, I think.
Trust me. Do not get a vasectomy.
Why?
Not now.
You got to ice down the balls.
No.
Right? Isn't that the
you
big
can
thing?
Ice your balls snip down it. If you want anyway. It's okay.
Snip them, Pat.
Don't
snip
do it.
Them.
Pat,
I don't,
not until
if
you're
I would,
sure.
I would freeze.
If he doesn't want kids and she doesn't want kids.
Wait a minute. Are you 29?
29.
29. Yeah. No, don't get a vasectomy.
Well, the
please.
Thing is,
don't.
I don't. And this is the first lady of my life who has understood exactly where I'm coming from.
Okay.
And it's pretty cool that how we get along. Her and I, this is the best. You know how they say, like, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
With all of my exes, incredible women, incredible women. I've had a lot of great women that I've dated, and a lot sounds crazy, but there's a handful of women that I've dated who are incredible people who I will always care about forever. I wish nothing but the best for them. I don't have any ill intent against any of them. But with Sam, the girl I'm currently dating, it's just a different animal. Like, I just feel differently. We're on the same page about a lot of stuff, and we both know that kids are not the right thing right now. Now, granted, if I get – I have a lot of shit I want to accomplish before sure. I have to give up all my dreams and have a kid. And she feels the same way. So it's been a very good – it's been a very good gel. But start a family – maybe by adding one person, but not kids and stuff like that.
Well, you can't ever play anything but man on man. You have more than one kid. You have more than two kids, you're in trouble. Like, two is maximum for anybody. You can't
probably
go zone when your parents. You can't. It's impossible.
Yeah, three of them probably of take them advantage there. Of you at all times.
Oh, yeah.
I have one brother, as everybody knows, his name is Jason, and we're polar opposites. In my family, my parents were hoping that one of us would have a kid so they could have grandkids, but instead we just give them dogs.
Grand dogs.
That's the way to go.
Yeah, I think they like those. Yeah.
All right.
Kids are just such a – that's an investment. Time, emotional, napping.
You know, Kostaki Economopoulos, the funniest – the biggest name in comedy, and he's pretty funny too.
Hilarious. I think
he's funny. He said to me, if you have kids, be prepared to – if you get divorced with that person who you had your kids with, you know, all those fights you have right at the end – when you have to stop the relationship, you have to do that with that person and go, and that's what I think of you. And I'll see you Sunday.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
so true.
Remember that before you. All right. Well, maybe you can come back with your girlfriend next time. We'll have couples counseling.
No, she's super. She's very much. No way. I don't want to talk. I don't want to be here. No, she's not quiet.
She
talks a lot of
publicly.
Shit.
Publicly.
Yeah, publicly. She doesn't want anybody in her business, which I respect and like a lot, by the way, for future reference. She's very easygoing. She talks a lot of shit, which it makes me laugh and I enjoy, but she's not about all the other shit.
Was she much of a football fan?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, she understands. She understands football.
Cool. That's the best.
Which is really cool. Yeah. She understands football. She's a fan of good music. Awesome. She likes comedy. It's a very good thing we got going. Who will it work out? Who knows?
Sounds very good, Pat.
Yeah, who knows what's going to happen?
Who knows?
I mean, let's not.
Who knows?
I've been pretty close to.
Nobody knows.
I've been pretty close to the old forever thing a lot of times with a few different people, and it's never felt right. This one, who knows what will happen, but this feels much more comfortable for me every single day.
Right.
What are you going to say, John?
She's a fan of good music, so she's a big fan of Drake.
Gravity! Oh, Drake and John Mayer.
You like Drake?
Yeah, no, Jason hates Drake.
Jason hates Drake.
I just don't get Drake. It's not my demo.
Drake and I
I'm not his demo.
So Drake got much more rich and famous than I did, but he got rich the same time I got rich.
Yeah.
So he got a lot more rich than I got rich, but he got rich the same time I got rich. So some of his first albums, I felt like he was speaking directly from my brain, like legit.
No kidding.
Yeah, like Fake Friends, write the answers on the mirror for me and all these things and stuff like that. So I had a very close relationship with Drake there for his first couple. I still think he's talented, but I'm not as big into Drake as I used to be.
That's the same reason I like Drake.
You guys got rich at the same time.
First million's the hardest. After that, it's easy.
I hope so. That's what we're going to find out. Yeah. I might be broke soon. We're going to find the fuck out.
Pat, I feel odd speaking on behalf of all Indianapolis Colts fans, but I will. Thank you very much for your service to the horseshoe. We appreciate it.
I hope Colts fans understand that I was all in when I was a Colt, and they deserve a guy who's going to be all in because the organization deserves it. The fan base deserves it. But for me, I'm just – Everything I gave, I tried to give it so we could win games because I wanted to win a fucking Super Bowl, as everybody does. Because in the NFL, your happiness depends on wins and losses. I mean, weeks that we lost, I was miserable. I hope you understand that. Mm-hmm. Even though I'm just a punter, my happiness depended upon whether or not we won. And now I hope to make shit to make other people happy and just keep it moving, turn my focus towards that.
You know, when my vision was when you hung up your cleats for the Colts, you would have the field goal distance record.
Oh, yeah.
Did you feel that might happen before the end of your career?
It'd be 65, right?
Because when the way my knees started feeling.
So the last couple of years, you probably wouldn't even attempted it?
No, yeah. Well, we would have attempted. I could still kick it, but everybody just assumed, as did I, that when Vinny – nobody expected Vinny to play this long, by the way. I did not expect Vinny to play this long, but he's better than he's ever been.
Yeah.
Still kicking 60
yards. Yeah, he's coming back next
year. He'll be probably around for two more years, I guess, if I had to guess. Mm-hmm. But he's so incredibly talented. But these past couple years, I had dreams to do both kick and punt, but these past couple years with how bad my knees have gotten, I was like, you know what? I'm cool with not doing it. Especially, I have a lot of fans of mine from other teams, and you can be a fan of a team's punter. I don't think you can be a fan of a guy who buries a game-winning field goal against you.
Yeah.
I found a sweet spot. I was good at it, and I'm happy I'll get a chance to go watch Vinatieri's Hall of Fame induction ceremony because I won't be at training camp.
That's right.
Which is cool. That's another positive, we'll say.
That's great.
Yeah, you won't really have an off season now.
I'm in season all the time.
You're in season all the time.
Hashtag no days off.
Sounds like you're in a good place, Patrick. Have a great life, buddy. And don't be a stranger, will you? Come back.
That's what Jim Irsay said to me, too. So I'm very lucky that you and Jim Irsay are saying the same things because I respect both of you greatly.
Oh, well, thank you.
No problem at all.
Thank you, Jason. Thank you, John Mayer.
Anytime you want to come back.
That's the Chick McGee Show on Podcast One.
Good night, everybody.
Earn 4x gas reward points during the Safeway Anniversary Sale. Look for the shelf tags for the participating items and get great anniversary prices and earn gas reward points too. This week, shop with your club card and pick up Gatorade 8-pack 20-ounce selected varieties 2 for $9 plus CRV. And Lay's potato chips 7.75 to 8 ounces 2 for $5. Maximum gas reward at participating Chevron or Texaco stations is 20 cents per gallon and $1 per gallon at Safeway stations in a single fill-up up to 25 gallons. Other restrictions, limitations, and exclusions apply. See complete details at Safeway.com.
Virginia buries its dead. I'm Rita Foley with an AP News Minute. Virginia Governor Terry McAuliffe is talking about President Trump's response to the violence in Charlottesville over the weekend at a white supremacist rally.
Those remarks are dividing people. We cannot be dividing people.
Governor McAuliffe told CBS this morning he knows two of the three people who were killed that day.
I have lost three great citizens yesterday, Heather Heyer's funeral. Tomorrow we will have to put to rest Trooper Burke Bates, who had been part of my executive protection detail, and then on Saturday, Lieutenant Jay Cullen, who'd been my pilot. This breaks your heart.
Heather Heyer died when a car rammed a group of protesters. The two Virginia State Troopers were killed while monitoring the rally when their helicopter went down. Prison visitations are off at a state facility or all state facilities in Florida, where they say they have credible intelligence indicating some sort of security threat. There are no details available yet. I'm Rita Foley.